afternoon. My name's Tom Finnemore. I'm on the team here. I'm the associate rector, and I am leading today's gathering, and I'm speaking at today's gathering. And I'm really excited about this passage. Whether you will be or not, I don't know. But that means I've got a lot I feel I need to say, which could be 40 minutes. I'm joking. I've got a very strict 10 minutes. So our theme is Love Came Down. That's what we've been exploring for the whole of Advent. That's what we've been looking at in Christmas. And today we've got one verse. It's going to appear on the screen right now. And it's from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I have a thought that I want to leave with us as we head into the remainder of this Christmas season, as we head into 2018. And when I was thinking about this passage, the first few words, something struck me. For God so loved the world. And that hit me. For God so loved the world. Now, I have heard this passage, John 3:16, hundreds and hundreds of times. But this time, something fresh hit me. And my hope by the end of this 10 minutes, something will bless you. And I want to ask us a question at the start of this. Have you ever felt like an outsider? Have you ever been in a new situation where you felt like an outsider? In a situation where you're the person who is different, you're the one who stands out. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me countless times. One moment, there are many, but one springs to mind. When about seven, probably 8 years ago now, I actually began to see myself as a golfer. I'd gone to the driving range and I was able to hit the balls. That's a bonus. I'd played some at the park in a kind of nine hole, and I thought I could be a good golfer. And in fact, my enthusiasm for this newfound sport got out on the streets, and a lady called Anne McLaurin, who some of you will know, was here, who I later worked for in Cambridge, who is a golfer. She's an incredible golfer. And she used to captain the Diocese of Sheffield golf team. And they were playing a big match in Oxford, and they were one person down. And I think she looked for a lot of other people, but then I was at the back of the book, and she thought, I just need somebody with a pulse who can stand up. So she calls me up and says, would you like to represent the Diocese of Sheffield in this golf tournament in Oxford? And I said, the problem is I've never actually played a proper round of golf. And she said, that's a detail. She said, I can train you. So she took me to her very exclusive golf club. I went to Decathlon and I bought the cheapest golf gear that I could buy. I looked like it was sports casual. If any of you are fans of Alan Partridge, I was ready. So she picks me up in a car and we drive up to the Hallamshire Golf Club, which is a beautiful club in fantastic grounds. And what I'm about to share with you killed the golfing dream for me forever. We pull up in the car park and she's getting out the clubs and she's round the side of the car. And I open up the boot and I grab my golfing shoes, which I recently purchased from Decathlon for about £4.30. And I'm kneeling down and I've taken off my shoe to put on my golf shoe. And she comes from around the side of the car and she's like, no, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know, when somebody reacts like that and you think, wow, I've never seen this. I've saw it many times since then. No, it's a joke. I was shocked and she said, no, you never change your golf shoes in the car park. It is against etiquette. There is a special place, a special hut reserved for changing shoes. No one changes golf shoes in the car park. And in that moment, there was something in me thought, I'm going to hate golf. And it goes on. The things that you can't do, the things that you have to say, the clothes that you have to wear, the weird stuff. It's really a strange game. If you play it, then God bless you. But in that moment of the shoes, I thought, I'm going to put my foot in it not literally in the shoes because I couldn't, but I just thought, this is not going to work for me. And in that minute, I felt like a total outsider. Because every hole we played, there was some other thing that one had to do, or this club or that club, or say this, how's your game? My game's steady, you can't say it. There's certain things you have to say. I felt like a complete outsider. Now, the theme of being an outsider, I think, is something that has captured both the national and the international culture. For example, a former White House staffer to President Donald Trump was asked this question: what is it that drives President Trump? And interestingly, the staffer replied, this perpetual notion that he is an outsider. From the moment he wakes at 4 o'clock in the morning and he gets on Twitter, he has the mentality and the mindset of an outsider, which is why when people lambast him in the press, it just is like water off a duck's back, because there is something in him that tells him he's an outsider. And we've seen the rise of nationalism in America and in our own nation. Think of Nigel Farage, the man who speaks for the little people, the perpetual outsider. And it is interesting that a former stockbroker who went to one of the best public schools in our country can speak for outsiders or take the attitude of an outsider. I'm not trying to be political, by the way. Honestly, I'm genuinely not. Think of Jeremy Corbyn, an outsider, but yet grew up in affluent Shropshire in a beautiful home to wealthy parents. But yet, what is an outsider? It seems to me that the definition of an outsider is something that is fluid, that is something that is changeable. This deep, driven mentality which you do not or cannot belong. But you see, in our culture, it is something that is growing. I think it's captured our culture. I think it's changed political process with Brexit. But in the time of Jesus, if you were an outsider, it wasn't something that you could choose to be. It was something that happened to you. For example, if you were born into the wrong family, you were an outsider. If you were born in the wrong area, if you were an outsider. If you were born to the wrong race, you were an outsider. If you were born in the wrong postcode, you were an outsider. If something had happened to you which made you unclean, you were an outsider. In the time of Jesus, you would never have a CV or resume, as they say in America. You would have your family tree. And your family tree would say whether you were inside or you were outside. And then we get to this conversation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's a conversation that Jesus has had with a man called Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, part of the ruling elite, the very definition of an insider. But it's a movement that started out for outsiders who wanted to preserve Israel and they wanted to preserve the things of God. But right now, in this moment, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus. And they're having a conversation about how one will access, how one will belong in the new kingdom that has come. You see, if you were an outsider, you were not able to access the presence of God. And let's just think for a moment. Here's Jesus. In the beginning of John's gospel, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So here's Jesus, the Word, who was with God in the beginning. He was there at creation. He speaks life. John's gospel is littered with references to life. And in this moment, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus about new life, a new birth, and saying that access to the new kingdom is through baptism, through repentance, of being born again. Irrespective of your tribe, irrespective of your class, irrespective of your postcode, irrespective of what you have done, you can be born again. Jesus is the outsider. It's interesting that in this culture, in the culture of Jesus, that your family tree is so important. Because at the beginning of Matthew, we see the genealogy. We skip over that, right? It's like a telephone directory. Blah, 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 whatever, boring, get to the good bit. But you know, within that genealogy, within that story is something very important which makes sense to this. Because in that genealogy are women. Newsflash, no fake news here. You wouldn't have women in your genealogy. There are sinners. There are people who are moral failures. Yes, there's David. Hey, good guy. But there's also people that you would not have in your family tree. You would not appear on Who Do You Think You Are? Because some in your background were some people that you don't want to talk about. But there it is in the Word of God, in the Bible, to show us that Jesus, the one who was there in the beginning, takes on the everything of the outsider, takes on everything that separates, and he liberates those who are the perpetual outsiders. He smashes that. He becomes like one of us. He is born among us. He is born to a refugee seeking asylum, and he makes his home among us. And then we get to this conversation Jesus has as the outsider, the non-certified rabbi, the one who hasn't been to the seminary, the one who doesn't have the degrees. And he's talking to Nicodemus. And he says this, "For God so loved the world." And that would have been hard for Nicodemus, because Nicodemus would have expected him to say, "For God so loved Israel." But in these few words, "For God so loved the world," we see the heart and the passion of God in Jesus. That he comes to champion the outsider. And you see that through his life. That he comes to liberate. That he comes to rescue. For those who've been far from God's presence because of who they are, he says, "You are now welcome into my presence." And then this cross behind me serves as the reminder, the resurrection cross, that he died for us, that he rose again, that his spirit is within us. So what does that mean for this day? Maybe Christmas has been a challenge for you. Maybe New Year you're not excited about New Year. Maybe you've come in here today heavy for some stuff that you've done. Maybe you're heavy today, or you've come in with a sense of shame about who you are. Maybe you locate yourself at the back because you don't feel worthy to sit at the front. There's nothing special about sitting at the front. But today, the truth is this, that God so loved the world, that Jesus loves the outsider, that Jesus loves those who are far from him, that he gave his only son. Such is God's generosity, such is God's grace. And he says that you can have relationship with him. Today, if you come in and you're not in a good place, know that God is for you and God is with you, and you are not an outsider to him. He becomes like an outsider to break the outsider hearts that we sometimes carry. Because in him there are no outsiders, there are only insiders. And if you have a voice today that tells you don't belong, know that Jesus says that you do. Know this day that you are loved, and that you are forgiven, and that you are free in him. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, not follows rules and regulations or tries hard, but believe in him, it's a free gift and it's grace, you may know eternal life. Amen.